welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello. I like that you always motion towards me like everybody can see that you're
pointing
at me.
It's an Italian thing. Shut up. And also, joining us from Wreck My Podcast, we have Cam.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good. Enjoying that California sun, huh?
Yeah, there's too much of it. My super pasty body is starting to turn into a lobster.
I was just going to say, you're looking pretty pale for living out in the sun, so...
Oh, yeah, man. No, I just stay inside all the time watching movies. That's all I do.
Otherwise, you turn red, you molt, and then you turn white again.
Yeah. I'm one of the special breeds of pale where even if you burn, you don't tan after. You just go right back to being see-through.
That's okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Another thing of note is, Cam, you are the one of the two halves of Sex Turtles, which you guys made our song, our new song here.
Yeah, we did. You reached out to us, and we're like, of course we would love to do that. Joe and I are fans of your show, as you're fans of our show. And we're like, why not, man? Like, let's just put something cool together. I'm the bassist in Sex Turtles. Joe writes everything. And then he tells me to write a bass line, and I do it in, like, one try, and then we drink a bunch of beers and sit down.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Hey, at least you don't drink the beers first. I mean...
That might make it
better. Oh, we do that too.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. All right. So you guys are joining me today because we are covering, we're going back to the X-Men arcs.
Woo.
If you want to listen to our previous coverage of X-Men, go check out episodes 76 through 81. This one, we are covering issues 60 through 65. It was published by Marvel in late 1969 and early 1970.
Nice.
The... God damn you.
Sorry, I was late on that. I was playing with my eye.
The writer is Roy Thomas. The art was done by Neil Adams and Don Heck.
It was originally Don Hell, but they realized they had to PG it for the book, so they called him Don Heck instead.
That's...
can you see my head? Can you see my headache?
Yeah. That's the kind of jokes I make on our
show. Inks were done by Tom Palmer and letters by Sam Rosen and Artie Semick. So let's go ahead and get into it. The first issue here, you know, it literally takes place right after the last group, which the last grouping we were introduced to Havoc, Alex Summers.
Cyclops' little brother.
Yep, Cyclops' Yeah, it was a little brother?
Yeah.
That's
who,
it. Yeah.
Who Scott knew was a mutant, but then didn't know was a mutant.
Yeah.
And then realized was a mutant, and then was shocked that he was a mutant.
There was a lot of problems with that one. So Alex has been injured, and so they had to get a hold of one of Professor Xavier's.
They had to get a hold of one of Chuck's friends.
Old colleagues.
Yeah.
Which... I want to question when we get to that part, but we'll get there eventually. And so we open up with Dr. Lykos, Charles Xavier's old colleague, and he is doing something. Looks like he's being some evil. I don't know. He's not. I don't know what he's doing.
Or he's orgasming over top of this dude's head. I don't know. Look at his face.
That's very possible too.
That's here. See the old face.
Do you remember?
Oh yeah, you could. He total vinegar strokes right there.
We go back to whatever land they were at, the X-Men were at, wherever. What's that one guy's name?
So these are literally the first X-Men books I've ever read.
I do apologize for that. These weren't good.
It's okay. This first issue that we're talking about, the format of your show, I know you guys followed a whole bunch and then like crack jokes and stuff.
Yes.
But in Wreck My Podcast fashion, we like to talk smack about it and really dive in. And I was reading the first issue and my girlfriend was in bed with me. and I just went, what the fuck is this? And then I got into it, right? Like, I was like, this is kind of fun. Like, this is a fun ride. But at first I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, especially in the beginning, because this literally picks up, thank you, right after the last set where the Sentinels were released against the X-Men, well, all mutants, and the X-Men stopped them. Larry Trask?
Yeah, Larry Trask.
Larry Trask was trying to... He was the one running or taking control of Sentinels and...
Trying to avenge his dad or something?
Yeah, his dad apparently died because of the X-Men scourge, and turns out he was actually a mutant.
Okay.
And once he found out he was a mutant, it set him in a... vegetative state, like he couldn't handle the fact that he was a mutant.
He had a mental breakdown, basically. There we go.
And so we're literally picking up from that and here, where the X-Men are like, "All right, Doctor, you take care of that dipshit. We're gonna go."
Okay.
So they bounce.
I thought the name was Judge.
I think his name was Judge.
Oh, his name was Judge?
I don't remember.
Fuck. I thought he was a judge the whole time.
I mean, it's just like a parent naming their kid Captain. They have a very high expectations. Captain.
Yeah. Captain.
Yeah. So the X-Men are taking Alex to Dr. Lykos to have him help him out, examine him. When they get to Lykos, though, he is kind of crazy.
And a little creepy.
Yeah, at first.
Yeah.
And he's definitely shady.
Shady is the big one. Cyclops or Scott is reluctant to leave him, but he does because the doctor's like, "Look, I need privacy to take care of him."
I guess we should also point out that
previous guy?
Yeah, his previous patient they just finished up working with. Looks like somebody literally dragged him out of bed after he'd slept for about 2 hours after being up for 2 days. Like, you can tell that he's drained.
Yeah, he does look kind of like... The shirt looks like it's...
Like, not fitting bones. Right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like, he got some of the life sucked out of him.
I didn't see that last time.
And I'd also like to point out that the doctor's got some pretty wicked eyebrows.
Oh, they're gnarly, man.
Very, wizard-like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or shall we say, necromantic.
Necromantic works.
As a zombie love story.
Coming to a movie theater this fall.
Oh my god, dude, you could make some money off of that.
Wasn't that what...
Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Scott and Jean leave. They head back to the mansion, I guess. I'm assuming so. And they basically walk in on a training session with Iceman and Beast and Angel.
So, okay, here's my thing. This is their mansion.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the danger room is.
Yes.
But Scott still walks in here and says, nobody's even answering my call. Oh, I heard something behind this door.
Gene remembers.
And then Gene's like, wait, don't you remember? That door leads to the danger room.
Now, like, did they name it the danger room on purpose, or did something dangerous happen there?
Everything dangerous happens in there.
I think they named it that way purposely. I could be wrong. I don't know. That it's, again, 60s, stupid naming things.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's name is Angel, because he has angelic wings.
I like the name Danger Room.
Danger Room works.
Because that's what they're doing in there.
They're being dangerous.
Exactly.
They're just doing danger.
It's just being...
Danger is my middle name.
After the quick training session, because why the fuck not? Which is fine. I mean,
training montage!
Literally, it's just training montage. We get a quick panel of everybody that was left at the fortress
Riker's
thing.
Island. I can't think what the hell...
Wherever it was.
There's some name for that island that Riker took him to, but I can't think of what it's called.
A Danger Island.
It's called Sentinel Island.
Nothing really happens there. Don't know why I brought it up. Just because it was the page in the thing. We go back to Dr. Lykos, and we get a backstory from him. Apparently, his family and his father's colleague, I guess, were hiking in the Antarctic on some cliffs. And what ends up happening is that the colleague's friend, or I'm sorry, the colleague's daughter, Tanya, ends up missing. She disappears. And I think he is, what, he's like a teenager. He's probably like
12, 13. Somewhere like between 13 and probably 15, I'd say.
She's like 8.
Yeah. Rocking the cradle.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what ends up happening is he, Dr. Lycos, what was his first name?
Doctor.
God damn it. Fine. We'll go with Doctor. Anyway, Lycos is, the whole group is searching for him. Lycos ends up finding Tanya being attacked by these pterodactyls in the Arctic. Because that makes sense.
That's where they're from. You know, reptiles love frigid weather.
Haven't you ever seen the Ice Age movie? I don't remember which one it is, but...
all of them?
There's like... Well, no, I mean, the one where they find the dinosaurs.
Yeah, that was the last one, I think.
How many of them do they have now? Like 7?
4 or 5.
Yeah, anyways.
So. But what ends up happening is Lycos does save Tanya. But Carl Lycos is his name.
Carl?
Anyway, Carl saves Tanya, but gets scratched by one of these pterodactyls in the process.
Right.
And so he gets injured, and I guess his latent mutant ability pops up?
Yeah, it gets activated by him getting assaulted by a pterodon.
And we find this out because he sucks the life out of his dog.
His dog, Jaeger.
Yeah, like we get a dead dog immediately.
No, he's not dead.
No, he doesn't die.
He's not dead.
He just gets like drained and then he's terrified to come near the child again. And that doesn't set off any alarms to anybody else.
Nope,
His beloved dog never sees him again, never comes to him again.
Right.
So as the years progress, Carl is draining like bums and just random vagabonds.
I didn't want to touch this injured man to drain his energy, but I just couldn't help myself. And then he's like,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Gotta drain his energy.
He starts getting closer to Tanya as they're growing up.
Let's just point out that her father does not look happy about this. And he says it's because he's a bum, but I think it also has to do with the fact that he's, you know, like 10 years older than his daughter, and he's like macking on this little teenage kid.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm an adult, but you have some adult parts.
Even, God damn it. Even when they're like both technically old enough, her dad's still like, no, you're a bum. Like, get out of here. Fuck off.
Shoo-shoo. We've got real prospects.
But the funny thing is, he becomes a doctor.
But he's not. But he doesn't make money as a doctor. Because he says it in here, like, eventually I'll have enough money to where your dad will think I'm worthwhile.
Yeah, but, like, he's a doctor.
Isn't he, like, a doctor of hypnotism?
Yeah.
Like, how much money does he actually make?
Well, probably a lot more than his 60s.
Yeah,
so probably
it's
a lot more
than
his
60s, so they all thought he was a fraud and a deep, you know.
A hippie doctor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were like, yeah, nobody real is going to get money for you.
So years go on, and we're back to the present. And Lycos is...
sucking the life out of...
Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is different.
He looks so angry.
Normally when he sucks life out of a human, he just gets enough to sustain him for a little bit of time.
Yeah, he gets like vitalized.
Exactly. But this is a mutant, and this is Alex Summers, who already is like super overpowered. This causes Lycos to change, and he becomes this giant
pterodactyl,
yeah. Called Sauron.
Dude, and I love that he actually says that he got it from the Lord of the Rings.
I was going to call him out on that.
Yeah.
Fucking Roy Thomas. But you did it right. We're good.
Good job. Is he even still alive?
I don't know, probably.
I can, like, the couple panels before that, you just see him, like, reading, like, The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings. He's reading The Lord of the Rings.
Was it?
In one of the books, yeah.
Oh, yeah, The Fellowship of the Ring right there in his
good
hand.
Good catch.
Nice.
Yeah, and when I saw that, I was like, that's kind of cool, I guess. And I thought that was going to be the only illusion we got, because somehow I forgot that it said Sauron all huge on the cover. And when it got there, I was like, I was torn between whether or not that was like a nice nod or a total cop-out. I couldn't pick.
Well, at least he
acknowledges where it came from.
Yeah.
Right.
So, although saying that he's on Sauron's level is a little cocky.
Yeah, he's just a pterodactyl man.
Yeah, that can hypnotize people, which we'll find out here at the end of the issue. Go back to the X-Men, and they're complaining about something. Oh, they're complaining about
mutant
protests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, people are being prejudiced against the mutants, you know. And
shocker.
And, I mean, we're all going to be surprised, but Angel throws a hissy fit because he is a tantrum-throwing rich boy. Dude, you got to admit, he acts like a fucking spoiled rich kid.
Yeah, he is. Warren Worthington III? Come on. Worthington alone is a rich boy name.
Yeah, and he's the third one.
Yep. So he rushes off, or he just kind of storms off and then comes he storms off and comes back with a brand new costume.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Because he lost his shirt, see?
Okay.
Dude, fuck, I don't know. Like, I didn't know why he was shirtless right there, so.
Well, because they just got done training, even though everybody else is already in their, you know, civvy clothes.
I'm not putting on clothes. I'm half naked man.
Well, he's got wings. It takes him a long time longer to
get dressed. Nah, you just have extra holes in him.
Yeah, where does he get all his shirts?
Actually, if I remember correctly, he has everything like tucked underneath. Like,
he has like a belt strap thing that he straps to his back with, and he tucks the bottoms down.
Yeah. So he tucks down, not up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yes, he goes rushing off to somewhere. I think he's just mad. He's throwing a fit. Beast has stupid dialogue throughout this entire issue.
Okay, and dude, like, it's not just stupid dialogue. What they were trying to do was make him sound like he was like an overachieving intellectual type of person, but what they got was him sounding like a doofus. And it's annoying.
It was very annoying.
And it's every time he fucking talks. Like, he takes normal turn of phrase and then, like, changes words in it to make himself sound more sophisticated, but it just makes him sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my rant. Thank you.
Nice rant. What, the end of the issue here, last page, Angel's flying around and he comes across Sauron, and then he looks in his eyes.
Dude, and gets a fucking lazy eye instantly.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Oh, here, I don't know if you can.
There we go.
Oh, dude, sick.
He gets hit with something.
Can you guys hear that guy drilling into the wall next door?
Yeah. We can. I wonder how well it's going to pick up.
I'm going to move. I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
But he gets hit with something white in the eyes that makes him go lazy-eyed.
That's it's a great way to end this episode or this issue.
Yeah, because
he's all shocked. Like, he sees this giant pterodactyl, and then he looks in the eyes, and the eyes are just I don't know. I was confused. The art was cool though.
Your eyes.
Neil Adams' art was pretty good. And that is the end of the first issue.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Cam, then please check out Wreck My Podcast, where him and his friends talk about everything and nothing. You can find them on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this X-Men story.